Hello, my name is Jane, and I have the great honour to read the Bible for us today. Today's Bible reading comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
Thank you, Jane, and good afternoon, everyone. Very warm welcome to you. Thank you so much for being here at this occasion today. It's my privilege this afternoon to deliver a message from Scripture to our graduands. But before I do that, I'd like just to say to those of you who are family of graduands and friends of graduands, I'd like to say a very big and heartfelt thank you to you. Study at college involves a lot of sacrifice, and it's not just sacrifice on behalf of the student. It's also there are also sacrifices for family and for friends. So for all the different ways that you've contributed and sacrificed and supported and encouraged them, I do want to say a very big thank you. It's meaningful and it's worth it, what you've done. Well, I remember the time my wife Anna and I took our very first child, Liam, to his very first day of school. I remember standing at the school gate, waving him off. He was really excited. He was running in, he was ready for a new adventure. And we as the parents, we were excited too, and it was good that he was beginning this new journey, but we were also nervous. We were aware of the challenges, we were aware of the struggles, of the heartache that might lie ahead for him as he began this journey of going to school, the search for good friends, the possibility of loneliness or of bullying, schoolyard conflicts, tensions, misunderstandings. We were aware of all these things. So Liam wasn't thinking about any of that as he ran in excited, but we were. We knew what might lie ahead. Well, graduands, today I feel a bit like that with you. I'm standing at the school gate, you're running in, you're excited to begin a new journey, and I'm excited for you too, and it is such a good thing, and it's so good to hear the different things that you're doing next. But as I'm waving you off, I'm also aware of what might lie ahead for you. I'm aware that because you will be seeking to bring the light of Christ to a dark and needy world, because of that, there will be trouble and struggle and sometimes heartache for you. For some of you, bringing Christ to the world will take you to countries where missionaries and Christians are not welcome, and even getting into that country is going to be a hard job for you. For others, bringing Christ to the world will take you to contexts where there's entrenched poverty or crime, and you'll be exposing yourselves to risks that you wouldn't face elsewhere. For some of you, bringing Christ to the world will put you into contexts where you will be insulted or mocked. People might call you outdated or naive, intolerant or narrow-minded. For some of you, bringing Christ to the world will mean that you're treated unfairly. Maybe you'll have trouble with a boss because of your commitment to honesty, or maybe you'll be on the outer because you won't join in gossip. For many of you, bringing Christ to the world will mean that you are opposed in the ministry you're seeking to do. There will be some that aren't happy with the ministry, with the outreach, with the church that you're part of. They might try to stop you. They might try to put obstacles in your way. I remember as we farewelled Liam at that school gate on his very first day, the question on our heart was, how will he go? facing those challenges that lie ahead? How will he go? And that's the question on my heart today as well with you. How will you go? How will you go when your commitment to bring Christ to the world puts you in situations where you face suffering or where you're opposed or where you're mistreated? Our first few years after graduating from SNBC, after the equivalent of this ceremony, our first few years were really hard. We moved overseas to serve as missionaries, and it was hard at first. I remember there was one point where I was already feeling the built-up pressure of culture stress, of challenging ministry, and we were living amongst entrenched poverty, just feeling the stress of all that, and then our car got stolen. And it wasn't just our car that we lost in that moment. We kept our visa documents in the glove box of that car, so we lost them as well. And I can see now that that wasn't the best place to keep our visa documents. And so we spent hours in the weeks that followed at police stations, at immigration offices, fumbling along in a language we didn't speak very well, trying to get these new documents made. I remember when I was feeling right at my wit's end about all of this, I remember a friend saying, "Whoever it was that stole your car, I hope they get what they deserve." And to be honest, I had barely even given any consideration to this anonymous person who'd stolen the car, but suddenly when this friend said that, it suddenly seemed like a really attractive idea. I could pour all my emotional energy of my frustration into hoping that they get what they deserve. As you seek to bring the light of Christ to the world, you will expose yourself to trouble that you could otherwise avoid. How will you respond when it comes? How will you respond when people oppose you or mistreat you because you serve Christ? Will you hope that they get what they deserve? In Luke chapter 6, Jesus teaches us how to respond in this passage that Jane just read for us. He teaches us, and he tells us two things. He tells us what to do, and he tells us why to do it. And this, graduands, on the occasion of your graduation, this is my message to you, a message from Jesus about what to do when you're mistreated and why to do it. Let's start with the what. When people oppose you or mistreat you because of Christ, what are you to do? You are to love them. Verse 27, Jesus says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." The context out of which this Bible text was taken is one of where Jesus is talking about the hostility that comes because of your allegiance to Christ. Just a few verses earlier in verse 22, he talked to his followers about a scenario where they were hated, where they were excluded, where they were insulted because they follow Christ. And now he's continuing with that, and he's saying, this is how you are to respond when that happens. How are you to respond? By loving those people. And it's not just a half-hearted, "Oh, I hope things turn out okay for them" love, is it? It's an active love expressed in concrete action. He says, do good to them, bless them, pray for them. And then he gives some examples, verse 29. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Now, in the culture of the time, if you wanted to insult someone, if you wanted to humiliate or belittle them, what you did was you give them a slap with the back of your hand across their cheek. It wasn't hard enough to cause physical pain, but what it did cause was shame and humiliation. And if someone did that to you, you could choose to respond in kind and you could slap them back. Or you might choose to walk away and cut off to end the relationship. But Jesus says, offer the other cheek. In other words, you just keep loving them. Keep pursuing the relationship. Keep doing good to them. And as you do that, you will be exposing yourself to the same thing happening all over again. You'll be exposing yourself to a second slap, a second insult. Turn the other cheek. Give them your shirt. Don't demand back what they take. If people treat you as enemies because you follow Jesus, you are to love them with an active love expressed in concrete, self-sacrificial actions. Putting aside your pursuit of personal vengeance, putting aside offence, putting aside outrage, you are to be generous to them, to deny yourself. You will be a channel for God's blessing and love to them. The American author Leif Enger writes fiction, writes novels, and some of his novels include Christian characters and Christian themes. In his novel Peace Like a River, one of the characters is called Jeremiah Land. Jeremiah is a single dad with three kids, and he's a cleaner in the local school. He's a man of strong faith, and it's a faith that at some points in the novel expresses itself in miraculous ways. It's also a faith that throughout the novel gets tested. Now, the superintendent of the school where Jeremiah works is a man named Chester Holden. Chester's face is covered with acne. Chester is a bitter man, he's a hardened man, and he hates Jeremiah. Even though Jeremiah is a hard worker, Chester hates him and Chester wants to get rid of him. And one day, in front of all the students watching on, he accuses Jeremiah of coming to work drunk and he publicly fires him. It's an absolutely humiliating moment for Jeremiah. How does Jeremiah respond? He could fight for his own rights, he could defend his own honour, he could bring a complaint against the superintendent. He could cut off, just go home, be a passive victim and find people around him who'll validate his outrage. How does Jeremiah respond? He moves towards Chester. He reaches out and he touches Chester's face. And at first, when that happens, Chester takes a step back and puts his arms up to defend himself against a blow that he thinks is coming. But as he does that, he touches his face. He realizes that his once acne-blemished skin is now smooth. Jeremiah has healed him. Jesus says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." Graduands, this is not going to be an easy thing to do. This love that Jesus is calling us to is way above and beyond ordinary human love. That's what Jesus says from verse 32. Verse 32, it says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. See, ordinary human love, the kind of love that's easy, is loving your friends, it's loving your family, it's loving those who are going to pay you back and love you back. This love that Jesus is calling us to here is above and beyond that ordinary human love. It's extraordinary love. And it's hard. Maybe there'll be some point in the future where you're seeking to bring Christ's light to the world and there's someone who doesn't want you doing that. Maybe they'll falsely accuse you. Maybe they'll spread rumors about you. Maybe they might turn people against you or say things that aren't true. Extraordinary love is going to be hard at that moment. Your instinct will tell you to do everything but love them. And the world around you will tell you to do everything but love them. It'll tell you to be outraged, to be angry, to cancel or defriend them, to call them out. Extraordinary love in that moment will be hard. How will you do it? Graduands, here is where Jesus' second point comes in. Jesus doesn't just tell us what to do, he also tells us why to do it. Let's have a look at that from verse 35. Verse 35, "But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. That's a recap of the what to do. Now here's the why. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Why do we love our enemies? Because that's what God does. God is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. He's merciful to those who treat him as an enemy. Loving enemies is what God does. And when we do the same, we're showing ourselves to be his children. Then you'll be children of the Most High. It's what marks us out as members of his family. Loving those who treat him as an enemy is what God does. And thank God that God does that, because otherwise we'd all be in trouble. While you and I were still sinners, he sent his Son to die for us. While we were taking for ourselves what belonged to him, the glory, the honour, he voluntarily gave his Son for us. While we were living as his enemies, he sent Jesus, who showed us what love for enemies looks like. Think of Jesus. When people mistreated Jesus, when they mocked Jesus, when they insulted Jesus, he went on loving them. When the guards struck Jesus on the cheek, he went on loving. When they ripped the coat and the shirt off his back, Jesus kept on loving. He went loving all the way to the cross, where he prayed the prayer, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then he died, that they and that we might be forgiven. We love our enemies because that's what God does. Because that's how God has loved us. So to finish, let's go back to that moment where I'm standing at the school gate, waving, and you're running in excitedly to begin your new journey. Well, this is my appeal to you as you do that. Take this teaching of Jesus with you wherever you go, to love with an extraordinary love. And if you do, when trouble and opposition arise, they won't be obstacles for you. They won't be things that stop you from bringing the light of Christ to the world. They'll be the moments where you can shine Christ's love most brightly. Moments where you can love the way Christ loves. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, then you will be children of the Most High.